Hey everybody, this is Michelle Fisher and welcome into A View From My Window. As always, I thank you for joining us today. Today we are talking about pre-employment transition services, a program through vocational rehabilitation. The Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act amended the Rehabilitation Act of 1973 and requires vocational rehabilitation agencies to set aside federal funds for pre-employment transition services, or pre-EPS, to students with disabilities who are eligible or potentially eligible for service for VR services. This provides an opportunity to ensure students have access to meaningful career planning in order to help with the transition from high school to employment or post-secondary training. So what exactly are pre-employment training transition services? For more, we are joined by Director of Youth Services, Jonathan Kresick, and Teresa Kolzar, Director of Rehabilitation Services. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you so much. Now, I have to say, Jonathan was telling me when we were before we went on air that this program has been on for about a year, and bravo. I mean, really, bravo. So talk about this pre-employment transition services and how it came about, really.
Well, we like to call it pre-ETS for short, because that's kind of a mouthful, pre-employment transition services. So you kind of answered the question initially. It came about due to the WIOA, as we call it, or Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act. That was signed into law in July of 2014 by President Obama. Okay. Now, you may be wondering why we're just kind of in the last year have kind of started doing pre-ETS or pre-employment transition services.
Sure.
We didn't actually get the final regulations until a couple of years later. I think it was maybe September of 2016, sometime around there.
Okay.
And prior to getting those regulations, though, we did go ahead and send out a request for funding, so we would get proposals back from some of our providers throughout the state to see if they could assist us with providing pre-ETS or pre-employment transition services kind of statewide. So we're required to do it, as you said. This was kind of our first step in getting it out there. The contracts went into effect in October of last year. So I think I might be getting ahead of myself in answering some of the questions.
It's
ahead
okay.
Of time.
You're good. No,
I just get started talking and I just keep going with pre-ETS. So
let's talk about how then, what the purpose is, because you were saying how the state was saying, let's do this. But were there things in the employment landscape that you were seeing that could this program could be used for high school students?
Absolutely. Students? I know that previously we really weren't allowed to do that based on federal regulations. We would work with high school students kind of as they got closer to graduation. We might meet with them ahead of time to kind of talk about their interests, but we couldn't really do anything sort of proactively with them. So yeah, we did really see a need for that. The idea is to kind of give students with disabilities sort of a head start on understanding work skills, workplace readiness skills, self-advocacy, mm-hmm. post-secondary opportunities, what might be available to them, what their interests are, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So we kind of saw a need in the sense that maybe they weren't getting these services through the school, or if they were, because some schools really have good programs, mm-hmm. maybe they weren't getting all of those services that they might need, and we could kind of help fill in the gaps.
Sure.
And then when they do come to Voc Rehab, if they do wind up coming to Voc Rehab, they've really got all of this training and knowledge and understanding under their belt already, and they can move forward more quickly with sort of quote-unquote regular VR services.
So Jonathan, let's talk about the self-advocacy part of it. Mm-hmm. Teresa, what does that mean for someone who has a disability to be a self-advocate for themselves, especially when that's not usually what they're trained to do?
I think that we find the instruction in self-advocacy, which was one of five specific mm-hmm. pre-ETS activities, which we can talk mm-hmm. about what those five activities mm-hmm. are. I think in general, this is something that, from my standpoint, seems to maybe not have as much focus around it in terms of transition services. I think we've seen a lot of programs, a lot of groups out there that really support students in terms of that transitioning process to employment or post-secondary education, in terms of maybe identifying their career interests, training needs, those types of things, but maybe less of a focus on those self-advocacy skills, which of course, I think those are important for any student transitioning out of high school, and certainly very important for students with disabilities. Mm-hmm. And that's an area where I think we probably have more work to do, even though pre-ETS are in place. Again, I think that our providers just have more comfort, more experience in providing some of those other pre-ETS activities. So anytime we can share resources about self-advocacy instruction, we try to do that. And Jonathan may talk a little bit during this podcast around about a recent event that we held with Subaru, where we actually involved self-advocates and sort of to bring that piece into the delivery of pre-ETS along with those other activities.
Right. So another thing that, do you want me to just jump right in?
Yep, go ahead.
So we've kind of been focusing on these nine contractors, and the contractors with some collaborators that they're working with, some other providers. We hit about 59 counties statewide.
Okay.
We have to make this available in the other 33 counties, and we have to do that very soon. So one of the things we're doing is what we call outreach activities or VR mentoring days. Mm-hmm. Our first one of these was really successful. It was in Tippecanoe County in Lafayette, Indiana. So that's one of the counties that isn't covered by one of our existing contractors. Mm-hmm. So we worked with Subaru of Indiana, and they were really great hosts for us.
Okay.
We got students from a couple of different school systems, so about 30 students in all. We met there at the Subaru plant. Subaru, for their part, did kind of a tour of the plant, which was really cool. We saw, I think I was more excited about the robots than a lot of the students were. So we did that. And then they also talked about workplace readiness skills, which means a lot coming from an actual employer who employs a lot of people in the area. Them talking about that means more than, you know, us talking about that to them. The other part of that, that Teresa was kind of talking about, was that we had a couple of other speakers. One was from the Work One office, and that was very cool because she kind of talked about the programs they have at Work One, as well as some of the collaboration that they're doing with Subaru. So she tied that in. The other thing, to finally answer the question, is we had a speaker from Self-Advocates of Indiana come out and talk about what self-advocacy means, talk about her own story, and share that with the students. She was very engaging, asking the students questions. I really feel like they got a lot out of that particular part of the whole tour and the whole, you know, mentoring day through
great.
Subaru.
That is wonderful.
It was really exciting. So we're planning on doing a few more of those kind of throughout the year. We're trying to get our second one up and running here pretty soon.
That will be great.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
Let's talk about the services that are available through this program. Go into those, please.
Yeah, so there are five different required activities. Obviously, one of those is instruction and self-advocacy.
Sure.
The other four are job exploration counseling, work-based learning experiences like the tour at Subaru, counseling on opportunities for enrollment in post-secondary education, and workplace readiness skills. Now, there's a lot of different activities that can be involved kind of underneath each one of those. Mm-hmm. Do you want me to
go ahead
into that too? So we talked about work-based learning experiences. So a tour of Subaru for kind of a group of students could be one thing, but we also like to work with students or have our providers work with students on an individual basis to kind of learn more about what their interests are and have them either, you know, just maybe do a job shadowing opportunity or maybe go to an actual business and try out the different jobs. And that helps them figure out if they really understood what that job was all about, whether or not they're really interested in it. Or maybe you have a student who doesn't know what their interests are, but they have some ideas. So you might do some interest inventories and then go out to some different types of, you know, of workplaces to see more about what that's all about.
Sure.
So that's included in that. We kind of talked about instruction and self-advocacy, which could include instruction and self-awareness, disability disclosure, how that works, when and how to kind of do that, requesting accommodations if that's needed, that kind of thing. Job exploration counseling can include interest inventories, reviewing career websites, so understanding how to kind of get on to maybe the Work One DWD website and explore your interests, learn more about what you're interested in doing. Let's see, counseling opportunities for enrollment in post-secondary. People may initially think of that as just, you know, is college for me?
Yes.
And that's part of it, but there's a lot of other opportunities out there that people might not be aware of, and we would love to make them, you know, more aware of that. So Subaru was really helpful in that because they're into advanced manufacturing. Yeah. You don't necessarily need a college degree for that, but you need other experience, and they can help students sort of understand what that's all about. So just there's a lot of different career pathways that a student might be interested in or might not know about. That's what that's kind of about. And workplace readiness is really kind of what it sounds like. Soft skills training, employability skills training, social interpersonal skills. I guess the whole point is there's a lot of different things that we're able to do under each of these five required activities.
Sure. Teresa, his point, Jonathan's point about the disclosure of disability, we were talking about that before we got on air too. For me, it was like, I don't want to disclose my disability because the first thing you're going to think is, why in the world would I want to hire this girl, you know, or this guy because of their disability? How do you prepare students with disabilities for what's going to happen when they disclose maybe a disability or something they cannot do?
Sure. And I think it's probably a very individualized process and involves understanding many, many different factors. I think, you know, one, what are those types of business settings or school settings that are likely a possibility for that individual? And, you know, does the disclosure of the disability, does it matter? Does it matter that the employer or the school know that disability? Maybe it does and maybe it doesn't. And I think it's important when we talk about disclosure that we are very narrow and specific about how and where that disclosure perhaps is appropriate. It isn't just a generalized, yep, disclose to everybody and everything, right? So I don't have a great hard and fast answer for that because I do think done right, it is a very individualized process. And I believe through pre-employment transition services, what we can offer and what our partners who are out there carrying out the services can offer is some guidance, some consultation around the pros and the cons, right?
Sure.
The good and the bad, and help that student to be able to make their own informed choice about when or how or if to disclose their disability. Of course, you know, there's factors like, well, you need to ask for modifications or accommodations. And if that is the case and you determine I do need to disclose, again, there may not be a need to disclose A through Z,
sure.
You know, every single impairment or challenge that maybe you're facing. Maybe that accommodation is really just for maybe this piece of my learning disability. Mm-hmm. And so that, I think, is a really important piece that we can assist with pre-eds to help students really understand, okay, this need is for this particular challenge that you're having. So it's really that challenge. Let's focus on the disclosure conversation around that,
sure.
And not just that general broad disclosure of every piece of information.
Yes, absolutely. So talk about then who provides these services.
We have, at this point, we have 9 contractors who provide the services, and they kind of work collaboratively with other providers throughout the state. So as I said before, we're hitting about 59 counties, although I think that changed. I just got word that one of our providers is expanding a little bit. So we may be in like 60 counties at this point. Now, the caveat with that is that our providers, since they've only been doing this a year, takes a while to kind of get it up and running. They're not necessarily at every school in all of those counties. So like our provider in Marion County, definitely isn't hitting every single school in Marion County. But as it grows and expands, we hope to be able to do that. And we hope to be able to do that in a lot of different ways. So that's who's providing the services at this point. And obviously we need to hit those other counties that we haven't hit yet. So there's some ways or some methods that we're looking at to do that.
And I would just kind of chime in there. These while pre-ETS are services that are falling under a new federal requirement, the kind of activities that are really provided through pre-ETS aren't necessarily new groundbreaking kind of activities. I think we find that through the provision of voc rehab services, many of our counselors in their work with students and schools are really providing some of this information. You know, they may be having those conversations about disclosure, for example. They may be having conversations about enrollment opportunities for post-secondary and how to access that disability services office and go through the financial aid process, for example.
Sure.
They may be providing what we call discovery services to really hone in on a student's interests and abilities and strengths and so on.
So it's a foundation.
So we feel like we're really providing providing also pre-ets in many ways to individuals who are in the VR system who happen to be students as well.
Right. And I should probably clarify something I said. I was kind of said that, I really just did say that it wasn't allowed for us to do that. And I really, in a more comprehensive way, we weren't able to kind of do that and reach out to students who are, the big thing here is potentially eligible for VR services. But Teresa is right. Obviously, we were doing a lot of these things already, and now we're kind of, it's expanded a lot from there. So WIOA really expanded our ability and capability to do these services.
So we were talking about the foundation being laid. Maybe this person does have a foundation being laid of people going, okay, we need to step outside of our box now. So now, who's eligible for services then? What are we talking about as far as first, when you're talking about a student with a disability, what are you talking about? And then how are they eligible?
That's an excellent question. And that's really where WIOA has sort of expanded what VR is able to do and really it must do in a sense. So students with disabilities is defined as a student who is on like an IEP or 504 plan. They have to be aged 14 to 22 and in school. We're really focusing on high school students. But remember I talked about those federal regs and how we got the final regulations. They expanded that even a little bit. We actually can work with students who are in like post-secondary education at this point. Our focus right now in just kind of getting this started is to work with students in high school. But we are allowed to, if it's a student with disability and they're age 22 and they happen to be in college or another educational setting, we can also work with them. The big change now is not only are we able to work with students who are eligible for VR services, but those who are considered potentially eligible. And that's that definition I was talking about, 14 to 22 with a disability in secondary education mainly, but also maybe also post-secondary. So they might not even have applied and been found eligible for VR services, and we're still able to work with them.
Okay, that's a good
point. That's kind of huge. Really.
And just to kind of clarify, that's what the federal law, or really the federal regulations, define as that potentially eligible population. And we were very excited about that, actually, that we could provide these pre-employment transition services, these five activities, to not only VR applicants or eligible folks, but also to those potentially eligible students.
Sure.
Now, if someone needed a service, if a student who was potentially eligible, not in the VR system, needed something beyond that sort of limited scope of pre-ets, those five activities, they would need to come to VR and apply and be eligible to receive those services. So just to make it clear, the pre-ets, the five activities, are the only services we are able to provide to those non-VR clients who, again, are those potentially eligible students.
Okay, good.
Right now, our providers work with the school systems that they're in on identifying which students might make sense for pre-ets, who needs these services, that kind of thing. So our providers work very closely with the school systems. Part of what they do with the school systems is some of our schools already have really good, I wouldn't call them pre-ets programs, but similar types of activities and services.
Yeah.
So they also work with them on sort of filling in the gaps that maybe they're really good with work-based learning experiences. Maybe they have a lot of connections to employers in the area and they work closely with them, but maybe not so much on self-advocacy skills. So this might help them kind of beef up their self-advocacy curriculum too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We keep coming back to self-advocacy advocacy, and I love it because when I told Jonathan earlier, you and I were talking, and I said when I was young, I had no idea of the concept of self-advocacy. So if a student is interested in the program, how can they learn more about it? How do you prepare parents too, or caregivers, to let their child explore a little bit themselves?
That's an excellent question.
Well, I think a good start is the website. So it's www.vrs.in.gov, and then there is a section on pre-ets and pre-employment transition services.
Right.
And as Jonathan said, we're kind of constantly updating constantly emerging, changing listing of counties, and then also contact information for our partners, our contractors, who are really community rehab providers, as Jonathan mentioned, who are covering those areas.
Right.
So anyone, they don't have to come to VR or go to the school for a referral. A person can just reach out directly themselves, the student, the parents, anybody advocating right. for them, anybody representing the student can reach directly out to that entity and inquire about those services. How do I obtain those services? Mm-hmm. Again, it is growing. We're still building the capacity to be able to be responsive to everybody who needs the service.
Sure.
We are not there yet, but we are moving steadily in that direction. So that's really a good place.
Yeah.
That's really a good place to start. We hope that the schools that are working with those providers are very aware of pre-ETS mm-hmm. and of the specific, yes, these five activities, but within those five activities, kind of the specific specific programmatic information, curriculum, et cetera, opportunities that are being provided. So we hope that schools are also a good kind of communication outlet or also marketing this program as well.
Thank you. I appreciate this program too, and I'm so happy that you allowed me to get information out about it. So I hear, Jonathan, you were talking to me about mm-hmm. expanding this program. We have been doing it for about a year and a half, but expansion is happening. So how are we looking to the future?
One of the things that we're doing, I talked about earlier, was the VR mentoring day, kind of getting out to those counties that aren't already covered. The bigger way that we're kind of hoping to do this is by getting an RFI out, that's a request for information, where we receive proposals from either, it could be other state agencies, employment providers, really any entity or agency group that feels they have some great ideas on how to provide these services. Maybe they have some connections with the schools. So that should be going out, fingers crossed, sometime this week.
Hold
me to that.
Okay.
We're hoping that it comes out sometime this week. The emphasis is really going to be on those 33 counties that are not yet covered statewide. It'll be open to more than just kind of our employment providers, although it's also open to them. So we want to get those proposals in, kind of review those, see what counties they're covering, how many students, and what kind of experience they've already got kind of in this area. And then we'll award some contracts based on that. Hopefully by the end of the year. Again, don't hold me to that, but that's the timeline that we hope to hit.
Yes, the goal definitely is that the required activities, these five activities that we've mentioned, are available, widely available statewide in 2018. And there's a variety of different ways that we're looking to do that. One is, again, expanding our contract relationships. We are also most likely moving forward with a partnership with the Department of Workforce Development and some of their youth programs, and specifically the Jobs for America's Graduates, or JAG program, if folks have heard of that. And we think there's a really great opportunity for more students with disabilities to participate in the JAG program. And as we review the curriculum for JAG, it is so closely aligned to pre-ed.
It fits
right in there. So I think we can sort of meet both DWD and VR program needs and provide more opportunities, again, to students with disabilities to not only to increase the number of students with disabilities participating in JAG, but also to potentially enhance that curriculum somewhat. For instance, to provide more focus around self-advocacy and those kinds of things that may not be a core part of the curriculum today, but really are a necessary and important topic area, specifically really for all students, but certainly for students with disabilities. So we're really, really excited about that partnership. JAG is very, very well regarded in Indiana. They have a fantastic success rate.
They have
great outcomes.
Really? Oh, I'm so excited for you all.
Yes.
Well, this is exciting, and I'm so happy to have had both of you talk about this pre-employment transition services. Teresa Kulzer and Jonathan Kresig, thank you so very, very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
You're so welcome. Yeah. And thank you so much for listening today, everybody. Everybody have a great day today. Bye-bye.